This episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Download the app and join me on Friday evening, 7 o'clock, to get in on the action. Locker Room, changing the way we talk sports.
You are Locked On Yankees, your daily New York Yankees podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are listening to the Locked On Yankees podcast, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Stacey Gotsoulias, and I'm the host of Locked On Yankees. I'm a baseball writer turned podcast host, and you may have read my work at places like Baseball Prospectus, The Hardball Times, Sporting News, and the ESPN Sweet Spot blog. You can find us on Twitter at Locked On Yankees. You can find me on Twitter at Stacey Gots. And we're also on Instagram at Locked On Yankees. If you're a new listener, hello and welcome. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. I hope you all enjoyed today's episode. I will be recapping last night's victory in Baltimore. And right now, the Yankees are playing Baltimore. It's 3:32 as I record this. And they are tied 2-2 in the top of the eighth inning. So we'll see what happens there. But first, you can get Locked On Yankees and all other Locked On podcasts straight to your phone in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere else you get your podcasts. And when you get into your car, you can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Yankees. So let's talk about last night, because last night was a big deal. Domingo Germán lasted 7 innings. This is a big deal because he piggybacked Corey Kluber, who pitched 6 2/3. So it was the second time this season that Yankee starters went into at least the 7th inning. It's the first time that happened, and Gerrit Cole wasn't involved. And as I said in my post-game video last night, in case you didn't see it, that's important. You need your non-Gerrit Cole starters to last in a game. You need the other guys to give the bullpen a break, and that's what happened last night when Germán pitched 7 innings. So good job by Germán. We'll get into his numbers later. We'll just go through the game quickly right now. Mike Ford hit a home run. Gio Urshela hit a home run. Clint Frazier hit his first home run of the season to put them up 7-0. It was a solo shot, but good to get on the home run board for Clint Frazier. He was having a little bit of trouble there. They were joking about how hitting is contagious, and I'll play the clip for you later. He had a funny retort to that. But Giancarlo Stanton was saying the same thing, that hitting is contagious, and once a couple of the guys start doing it, the rest of them, it'll kick in for them. And that's what we've seen from the Yankees the past couple of days, although today, not so much. They have those 2 runs on 7 hits. All right, that's not terrible, but Jorge Lopez started the game. Jorge Lopez came into today's game having given up 16 earned runs in 17 innings of work. Did he give up the 2 runs? Not really. The 2 runs were his fault, but the guy who came in after him gave up a 2-run single to Rougui Odor. So yes, it's his fault, but he stymied them for the first couple of times through the order. I don't understand the Yankees offense, how that keeps happening to them. They face guys that they're supposed to not be able to hit, and they do well against them. And they face guys that they should hit, and they can't do anything against them. Oh, by the way, Wandy Peralta is with the Yankees in Baltimore. He will be wearing number 58. Michael King was optioned to the alternate site after last night. So let's look at the numbers from last night. LeMahieu was 2-for-5, Stanton 3-for-5, Torres 2-for-5, Urshela 2-for-4, Ford 1-for-3, the home run, Frazier 2-for-4, and then Higashioka and Gardner had offers. And so did Hicks. I forgot about Hicks. I skipped over him. Ford's home run was his 2nd. Urshela's was his 4th. As I said, Frazier, it was his 1st. The Yankees were 2-for-5 with runners in scoring position. The Orioles only had 1 runner in scoring position. Germán went 7 innings, gave up 3 hits, only walked 1, struck out 6. And Michael King came in, pitched 2 innings, gave up a hit, struck out 2. So again, Germán saved the bullpen. That is a big deal because the bullpen has been overused so far in April. You know, it's April 29th now. We're almost in May. I'm not going to do it. I'm so tempted to do it. I will not do it. I might do it tomorrow, though. And I won't apologize. Anyway. Oh, it's so tempting, though. No, I'm not going to do it. Okay. Anyway. So it was a good win for the Yankees. You always like to see a shutout. You also always like to see the offense exploding a bit. And last night, 7 runs, 12 hits. They only gave up 4 to Baltimore. And in segment 2, we will look at Domingo Germán's pitching selection. What he threw, how fast he threw, all that good stuff from Baseball Savant. Stanton, for his part, one of the outs he hit last night was 119 miles an hour. And they converted it into a double play. And I joked last night that I don't understand how anyone can field a ball that's hit that hard without shaking their hand afterward, you know, shaking it in agony, because God, these guys hit the ball so hard. It's crazy. So my computer is being a jerk right now, and I can't download that clip of Clint Frazier talking about his first home run. So here's a quote from Aaron Boone about Domingo Germán and his performance last night. There were a couple of times where I was like, that was a pretty special finishing pitch right there. And he did it with everything. He had some freeze breaking balls. He had some changeups for soft contact. And I thought probably his best command and stuff was with the fastball and the sinker. Now, Germán pitched. I keep doing that. Germán threw 92 pitches. 63 were for strikes. As I said, he went 7 innings. He struck out 6. And he earned his 2nd win of the season. Now, the only singles that the Orioles got off him, Mountcastle hit an infield single, and then there were 2 singles in his last inning. So he was strong all day. Brandon Hyde, the Orioles manager, said Germán was really good. He was throwing all pitches for strikes, keeping the ball down in the zone, but elevating it when he wanted to. You saw a lot of changeups. We tapped to the pull side. We didn't square many balls up. We had a tough time with Germán, and rightfully so. He had really good stuff tonight. This is what Giancarlo Stanton said about Germán. The ball's going all over the place when he's throwing mid to upper 90s, so just the reaction time and the pitch selection they have to deal with is really tough. When you can throw 4 pitches in the zone, starting in the zone and breaking out, it's a very difficult at bat. He was on all cylinders. Boone also said, Germán had a couple of rough starts, but they were a little wonky and they didn't determine what we were seeing from him all spring long. And I'm not surprised to see him go out there and pitch the way he is right now. He is in a really good place, throwing the ball really well. Can I just say that I enjoy that Aaron Boone also uses the word wonky? I usually use it to describe my lazy eye. In a moment, we'll be looking at Baseball Savant, and I'll let you know everything that Domingo Germán threw last night with great success. But first, this episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Locker Room is the first social audio platform made for sports fans. The app is free to download, and once you're in, you can talk with me, other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time about the Yankees and baseball. I will be hosting rooms for Locked On Yankees once a week. And yes, you can finally join in on the conversation you listen to here every day. Locker Room is the perfect place to start or join conversations about baseball, specifically MLB. You'll find fans just like you on Locker Room for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and of course, reacting to big news or rumors. Be sure to join me this week. I'll be hosting a room tomorrow night, Friday, 7 p.m. Eastern. We'll have another watch party. I did it last week and it was actually a lot of fun. It was a good group of people. We had a nice conversation going and you can chat. There's a chat function, so you don't have to speak, but you can also ask me to let you speak, and we can all hear each other. And it's honestly, it's a lot of fun. I was worried about it, but it's a fun time, and I will put the links out on my Twitter and on the Locked On Yankees Twitter. Again, tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. So go download the free Locker Room app now. It's currently available on all iOS devices, and there's now a beta app for Android. Be sure to create a profile, link your Twitter, and join the MLB group for the latest league updates. Follow me at StaceGotts to be notified when my room goes live. I know you won't want to miss it. I'm planning to be live again tomorrow night, Friday, at 7 o'clock, just in time for the game against Detroit. I can't wait to hear everyone's thoughts on the Yankees and the Detroit Tigers. So see you there. Locker Room, changing the way we talk sports. If you own a car, you should go to rockauto.com because rockauto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The rockauto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. As promised, let's look at how Domingo Germán pitched last night, or what he pitched, more specifically. As I said, he threw 92 pitches in 7 innings. He threw 26 four-seamers, 24 curveballs, 21 changeups, and 21 sinkers. That is a very economical, even outing. It's good when a guy has that many pitches and they're working that well for him and he can evenly distribute them. He had 9 swings on his four-seam fastball, 1 whiff, 11 swings on the curveball, 5 whiffs, 10 on the changeup, 3 whiffs, 12 on the sinker, 2 whiffs. His max velocity last night was 95.6 on his four-seamer. He hit 95.3 with his sinker. And his minimum was 79.3 on the curveball. So again, that's always a good thing when you can go from 95 to 79 in the same at-bat or in the same game. As for all the other numbers, so he had a total of 11 swings and misses. Dean Kramer had 10. Now, the top pitch velocity was actually from Tanner Scott of the Orioles. He had all 5 top pitches, ranging from 98.5 down to 96.9. Clint Frazier's home run went the farthest last night at 389. Giancarlo Stanton, as I said, he hit that one ball 119.4. Oof. He hit another one 113.8. Gio Urshela hit a ball 109.8. Clint Frazier 106.4. That sounds like a radio station. And Pedro Severino hit one 113.4. Michael King came in after Germán, threw 28 pitches, 15 cutters, 10 sinkers, 2 changeups, 1 fastball, 4-seamer. He had 7 swings on the cutter, 2 on the sinker, 1 on the fastball. His top velocity was 94.9 on his sinker. He hit 93 on the 4-seamer. And that's all for the Yankees pitching because, thankfully for Germán, lasting as long as he did, Michael King only had to come in and pitch 2 innings. And it's great for the Yankees that they had Michael King to do that. And as I said, Wandy Peralta is with the Yankees right now, so he will be inserted into the bullpen, and Michael King was sent back to the alternate site. I really wish there was a way for me to show you the pitch 3D view of Germán's outing and all the different pitches that he threw. Go to Baseball Savant, really. If you're into this stuff, it's so much fun to look at everything and see. Let's see, pitch speed. That's interesting. Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm looking at the umpire view right now of where all the balls were, and he did throw a lot of stuff in the zone. Amazing. So I'm recording while the game is on, and they're down 3-2 in the 9th inning with a runner on first and 1 out. Who gave up that run? How dare you? Was it Chad Green? I know he was in the game. See, it's hard to record and watch things at the same time. And I had other things to do, so I've been kind of in and out watching the game, which I know. I podcast about the Yankees. I should watch them all the time. But I have other things I need to do. Okay, can I just say that Cedric Mullins is a pain in the ass? Why is he always involved with them scoring? He walked, and then Austin Hayes hit a double. Cedric Mullins scored. And then Hayes advanced to third on a throwing error by Glaber. So actually, the Yankees are lucky that Baltimore didn't score more. Okay, so Cedric Mullins, he's Jonathan Scope 2.0. And I know you're thinking, well, he didn't hit the double, but he's the one who walked to start off the inning. He's the one who scored the run. So again, 3-2, now there's 2 on base with 1 out. Mike Ford walked, DJ LeMahieu walked, Brett Gardner struck out in between them. And right now, Giancarlo Stanton is up. Or Giancarlo Stanton is up, as someone said I should pronounce his name. I don't feel comfortable saying it that way. And Stanton struck out, so the Yankees are down to their final out. And if they lose, they will split the series against Baltimore, which is not ideal. But things could be worse. I mean, they could have lost 3 out of 4 to Baltimore or been swept in a 4-game series by Baltimore. So I guess a split is better than that, but it's still frustrating. The Yankees can't quite turn things around yet. They're not at the point where they're going to go on a big run. Although they're 5-2 in their last 7 games. They'll be 5-3 in their last 8 if they lose this game right now. And that's not terrible, but we're still waiting for them to kind of turn things around. And again, I keep saying this, it's still too early. It's still technically April. And even when you get into May, it's still too early. I've told you this over and over and over and over and over again. I've gone through too many seasons where I've watched these guys, all different iterations of the team. I know they're different players in different decades and different eras and all that stuff. But I've seen this happen before. And this team is not going to be as bad as they were in the beginning of the month for the whole season. I don't believe it. I do not feel it in my gut. I don't believe that they're going to be that bad. They're just having a rough patch, and it just so happens to be at the beginning of the season. And just as I say that, Gleyber Torres hits a ground rule double. Mike Ford scored, and DJ LeMahieu made it to third. Now, I would prefer that they score another run and at least get the lead, because I don't like this whole being tied going into the bottom of the inning thing, and I really don't enjoy the extra runner or the runner in extra innings, although because the Yankees are the visiting team, they'll be the ones to get to do that first. But again, I'd much rather them untie this right now. Gio Urshela made an out. All right, so it's going tied 3-3 into the bottom of the ninth. In a moment, I'll update you on what the Yankees are doing and if anything else pops up while I'm recording. But first, BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing, and you can track all the action on BetOnline. This week has a ton of sports action on the go, as the NFL draft is on, and the Kentucky Derby is back as the first leg of the Triple Crown begins this weekend. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and all your UFC MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Use the promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. This episode is brought to you by 1010, a capsule collection of diamond rings that are responsibly sourced, limited edition designs at fair price points. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 creative styles of diamond rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Rings sure to bring joy into her life. Using only diamonds responsibly sourced from Botswana, 10 female design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful ring. Ideal for engagement, Mother's Day, or simply a beautiful conversation piece, they're the perfect way to bring light into her life. They're available now through Mother's Day only on BlueNile.com. Just search the words 10x10. This collection features high-quality, fine jewelry that will surprise and delight, and it's fairly priced so you can give her something special and truly meaningful. So if you're on the hunt for the perfect, unique ring she'll treasure forever, you're definitely going to want to check this out. They won't be around for long, so find them now by searching the words 10x10 only at BlueNile.com. I didn't mean to sound so mean about Gio Urshela. I mean, he lined the ball out. It wasn't as if he struck out. He hit the ball hard and he just happened to hit it at someone. So that's a big bummer. But it's tied 3-3 into the bottom of the ninth. Aroldis Chapman is in the game. We'll see what happens. When was the last time he pitched? It feels like he hasn't pitched in a while. Because with Kluber the other night, he didn't have to pitch. Right? Yes, because Loaiza and Lecky pitched. And then last night, with Herman going 7, Michael King pitched the last 2 innings. So I feel like we haven't seen Chapman in a while. I guess we'll find out how he's feeling. Oh, can we talk about how the Cubs used 3 position players to pitch last night? Because they played horribly against the Braves. But there was a funny moment when Anthony Rizzo was pitching and he struck out Freddie Freeman. And I don't know if you saw it. When was this? Last week? Maybe the week before? The Cubs and Braves were playing in Chicago, I want to say, because I think they were in Atlanta last night. And Rizzo had Freddie in a rundown and he was mic'd up for the game and he yelled Frederick as he was chasing after Freddie Freeman in the rundown. And I like the relationship those two have. And, you know, you have to laugh at stuff like that. I remember in 09, the Yankees played a particularly horrific game against the Rays early in the season, and Nick Swisher had to come in and pitch. Nick Swisher struck out Gabe Kapler. I remember that much. But I remember Jorge Posada voicing his displeasure with Swisher being too happy on the mound and laughing and joking. You know, really, I don't know. I was so glad that someone like Swisher was on the 09 Yankees and that guys like him and CeCe and AJ Burnett and, you know, like this new group of guys kind of loosened the older Yankees a little bit, because Jorge Posada, really, you could probably stick a lump of coal up his butt and have a diamond in about 2 days because he was so uptight and it was so annoying to watch. So I was glad when those guys came over and kind of changed him slightly. I shouldn't say it was slightly, because there was a point where Posada was fully on board with the pies and the walk-offs, because the 09 Yankees had a lot of walk-offs. I still to this day am bummed that we never got to see Jeter get hit with a pie. I think a lot of people back then were wondering if he would allow it. And I still to this day wonder if he would have allowed it. I think he would have. I think he embraced that behavior. It made the team so much more fun. It was fun watching that team. Although I did like that one time that they were out of whipped cream and AJ Burnett warned, maybe it was Swisher, warned him that it was shaving cream and not to eat it after he pied him in the face. Wow, Chapman struck out the side, so they're going into extras, and the Yankees will start with a runner on second in the 10th inning. And if this works out for the Yankees and they end up winning, I still hate this rule. I do not like it. I think it's silly. And there are so many other problems that baseball needs to fix, and pace of play is not one of them. Or maybe it shouldn't be the number one priority for baseball. There are so many other things that baseball can work on. And I feel as if this rule is just silly and shouldn't be put in a game that counts. It feels like an experiment that should be done in a game that's an exhibition game. Like the other day when Gabrielle and I were talking about all the stuff that's wrong with baseball. You know, if you want to do a skills competition or a home run derby to decide extra innings, do it during an all-star game. Don't do it during a game that actually counts. So because Gio Urshela made the last out of the 9th inning, he is the runner on second, and Tyler Wade is up. They couldn't bring in anyone else but Tyler Wade. He doesn't even hit the ball. What is Boone doing? And I missed Aaron Judge pinch hitting, although he pinch struck out. Shouldn't be called pinch hitting unless you get a hit. But he was put in for Odor and he struck out. But that's a good sign. Everyone was panicking about him having soreness somewhere in his lower body. They didn't really specify where he was hurting, and Boone said before the game that he was available to pinch hit if needed, and he did. So again, that's a good thing. Not a good thing that he pinch hit or pinch bat and got a strikeout, but at least he's healthy enough to do that. Tyler Wade just struck out on a foul bunt. He is absolutely useless. Why is he with the team? Honestly, I know some people will probably yell at me for that, but what is he doing? And then Aaron Hicks grounded out. And did he even? Nope, he didn't even advance the runner. So they intentionally walked Gary Sanchez, and now Mike Ford is up. Two on, two outs, you're gifted the runner on second, and they probably won't score now. And this is why I wanted them to score the go-ahead run in the top of the 9th, because I had a feeling it was going to be like this. As I keep saying, it's too early to freak out, but my God, this team is frustrating to watch sometimes, or most times, because Mike Ford just struck out. So great, you start with the runner on second, you can't even move him over to third. Good job, everyone. I'm going to sign off because who knows how long this game will end. Actually, now that I said that, Baltimore will probably walk off in the bottom of the 10th. But anyway, that's it for this episode of Locked On Yankees, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'd like to remind you that you can listen to this show in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere else you get your podcasts. And when you get into your car, you can tell your smart device to play a podcast Locked On Today. Get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. One more thing, if you could be so kind, please rate this podcast and spread the word about this podcast to your fellow Yankee fans. We would really appreciate it. Enjoy your Thursday, and I will talk to you all tomorrow.